Hey everyone, welcome to another new, brand spanking new, episode of Cinema Gibberish. It just kind of happens, huh? Never thought I'd say that again, but I'm here, your host, Chris, as always. And today we're going to cover a few things. Just about stuff in the film world, and also, of course, we're going to be doing a little review of a film called Morbius, critically acclaimed Oscar-winning movie, Morbius. But also, I thought I'd give a little, just a welcome back, how you doing, and maybe give you a little update on things. Now, I'm not here to spill any tea, because I do not drink tea or coffee. I'm a H2O, hydrogen dioxide guy myself. But that being said, where has Cinema Gibberish been? Last episode, it came out over a year ago. Back when, I believe it was when Disney made a bunch of announcements of movies and TV shows coming out. And a lot of those have come to fruition. A lot of them have come out, and we've seen a lot of them already. But for some reason, I decided, hey, why not bring it back now for Morbius? Because we got to talk about Morbius. The only thing that will bring Cinema Gibberish back is if we talk about Morbius. But all jokes aside, so what happened to Cinema Gibberish? Well, of course, as maybe it was kind of obvious or not, it just kind of died out along with the pandemic. And, you know, life just got really bustling and busy, and so many things just got busy in everyone's lives. I can only speak from personal experience, I guess. But for anyone who, I guess, if there ever was any theory or anything that there's bad blood, never in the slightest. Everyone just, life is busy, and people, it's hard to find time to have a consistent side gig, you know, like recording a podcast or recording YouTube videos. For anyone who doesn't know, Cinema Gibberish started off as like a fun little movie review series on my friend Josh's YouTube channel, JD Studios. Go check it out. Where we would record and review a movie every week. It was fun. It lasted through the summer and into around Christmas time, about 25 episodes. And then that was like just months before the pandemic hit. But before the pandemic hit, we switched it to a podcast format because it was easier to record and more convenient. And we all did not have to be in the same room to record it, which was super convenient, super nice. As the year went on, the pandemic hit, and we had less and less things to talk about because new movies were not coming out, and we were tiring ourselves out. And by we, I mean I was coming up with really bad ideas, like, hey, let's review 23 movies in a span of just weeks. So that was very tiring, but anyway. So we tried to bring it back later in 2020 to talk about more seasonal type stuff like Thanksgiving and Christmas type movies, Halloween type movies. You know, we talked about Home Alone, Nightmare Before Christmas, and we had a special episode where we talked about this big event where Disney just announced a bunch of new movies and TV shows. It was super exciting. Me and Josh got on the podcast and we talked about it. And it was the last episode of the podcast since then. And that was in, like, December, I think, of 2020. Which sucks, because we actually did have another episode lined up where we were going to review the Grinch movies. Or at least the first two, I think it was. But anyway. But we're back for now, at least. Who knows how long it'll last. Knowing me, I like to pick up a toy, play with it for a little bit, find it interesting, like, ooh, shiny. And put it back down and forget about it for like ever. And then when I see it again, I'm like, oh, I should play with this again. So essentially, I guess that's what this kind of is. I'm really excited because 2022 Seems like it's going to be a full complete year of just movies in the movie theaters, hopefully being back in full swing, because movie theaters did not fully come back till like July of last year. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and just review a movie every week for you guys, and also talk about just some other smaller like film related news. There's now, right now, I didn't really collect a lot of film news at the moment, and of course there is a few really big ones happening right now, but didn't collect a whole lot of film news to talk about before we jump into the Morbius review. But to just off the top of my head, of course, I'm sure everyone knows about Will Smith, the Oscars, and everything. It's funny I bring this up because I haven't watched the Oscars since we did our podcast episode talking about the Oscars from 2 years ago. I've just kind of been like, no thank you. I've given up almost on Oscars and sort of the superficial award shows. I've kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, if you like a movie, you like a movie. You don't need a fancy, as awesome as it would be, congratulations to people who win these awards, but you don't need them. You know, it's really all about the art and, you know, just loving what you do. And the awards should just be like a little cherry on top, not, you know, shouldn't be like determining your whole career. But anyway, enough about the Oscars. Went on a rant about the Oscars, didn't I? But Will Smith, give my quick thoughts, because I actually did an entire class presentation on this thing just days after it happened. But I think I'm doing the thing a lot, aren't I? So obviously, I think we can all agree Will Smith might have gone a little too far. Shouldn't have slapped Chris Rock. Props to Chris Rock for, you know, continuing on with the show, as horrible as the show seemingly was, so I've heard and seen. And, you know, of course, Will Smith should be punished for what he did, but also on the other hand, I do understand why Will and Jada would be upset about what Jada said. I'm not going to completely recap what happened, because again, I feel like a lot of people know what happened. Chris Rock made a joke while he was presenting an award, before presenting an award, and no big deal, throwaway joke sort of thing. But of course, it was something that kind of got under Jada's skin, you could tell, and then Will Smith saw that and took action, as I'm sure we've all seen. So I think, as we've learned, Will Smith will probably be punished, maybe suspended, banned from the Oscars, who knows. Story still in development, but you know, there is that. So if you came here to hear about Will Smith and the Oscars, there you go. There is my opinion on that. And then next thing I got, which two more, they're very closely related stories, but we have two actors, one who is definitely retiring and one who might be retiring. So we have Bruce Willis, star of Die Hard 1, 2, 3, and 4. Maybe 5. I don't know if there's a 5th one. I only watched the first one. Has officially retired due to apparently declining health, which was very much kept a secret from a lot of people, including me. Me of all people. They did not tell me about Bruce Willis. How could they? But I think it's been for the past 2 years as it's been happening, which now everyone explains to everyone why he's been doing these sort of much smaller budget movies, and just collecting and garnering all this money, just so he can retire peacefully, while also, I'm assuming, giving his family just a nice base layer of stuff. It's unfortunate, but I hope and I pray Bruce Willis enjoys his retirement. I hope what he's been fighting with, which I don't remember the exact thing he's been fighting with, but I think it has to do with memory loss and stuff. I don't think it's Alzheimer's, but it's something along those lines. So I hope he enjoys the rest of his life, you know, because he's earned it. He's had a pretty good, decent career, especially, of course, everyone knows from Die Hard. Pulp Fiction was great. I'm trying to think of other Bruce Willis movies. Hold on. I'm on the computer right now, so I can easily look up Bruce Willis movies. Bruce Willis. Illness. Actually, let's look up the illness too long. Alphasia? Alphasia. Huh. Did not know about... It's called, his illness is called alphasia. So I knew it wasn't Alzheimer's, but it's alphasia. But let me see his most notable movies. Of course, it's going to be Die Hard. The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable. Those were the ones I was thinking of. And he was in, what was it called? Fifth Element. Yep. In Armageddon. Yeah, see, he's had a pretty meaty career. But yeah. So hopefully a nice farewell to you, Bruce Willis. I hope it's all peaceful. And the next star who may be retiring, they have just come out and said that they're most likely will retire because they feel like they've had enough. Actually, I'll pull up the exact quote, but we are talking about Jim Carrey, star of the new movie Sonic 2 coming out next weekend or this upcoming weekend, because I'm recording this Monday after Morbius has come out, so it's the weekend before Sonic the Hedgehog 2 comes out, which, yes, we will be doing, most likely be doing an episode on. But let me do... So I want to pull up the direct quote, because I think it is... It's pretty poetic. He seems like he's a pretty poetic dude. He seems to really, really love art, and that's what he loves doing in his life right now. I could have sworn he had already retired already. I know he, like, flipped a switch in the mid-2010s and sort of in the early 2000s, maybe. But he always loved doing, like, serious roles a lot of the time. I feel like we just got back the 90s Jim Carrey, who would be doing these crazy, ridiculous, over-the-top roles, that being Dr. Robotnik. But, okay, so yeah, here's what he said. Well, I'm retiring. Yeah, probably. I'm being fairly serious. So he said, I feel like, and this is something you might never hear another celebrity say, as long as time exists, I have enough. I've done enough. I am enough. So that is Jim essentially saying, yeah, I'm pretty much going to retire. Unless, you know, God himself comes down and tells me I need to do this particular movie. So there's a good chance that might not happen. Not saying it's impossible, but... So, it's crazy. I feel like the past 2 weeks have been just so... crazy huge on celebrity news and celebrity stuff, man. It's just celebrities have been on something else. And actually, I just thought of one more story to talk about dealing with celebrities. The celebrities are just nuts these past... March has been was a crazy month for celebrities. But, I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 winds up being the last movie that Jim Carrey does. It'd be very interesting because he's had such a stagnant career. Definitely one of, if not the biggest star, movie star of the 90s. And it's interesting that if he is retiring, he would end it on, not a bad movie. Or I'm sure it's not a bad movie, but, like, you know, when you think of Jim Carrey and him retiring, you probably think of him, like, retiring on some sort of high note, which probably comes back to his quote saying, I've done enough, I've seen enough, I am enough. I kind of worded that a little bit differently, but the point remains the same. I mean, kudos to him for, you know, being able to do that. If I was Jim Carrey, I would want to work so much, because I'm sure anybody would kill to work with Jim Carrey. At all times, like as soon as his career started in the 90s and up till now, he could probably work on anything he wanted to. So it's interesting to me. It's just so interesting that his retirement. Or his career will end with Sonic the Hedgehog 2, I think. But that being said, he's had a great career. He's had a lot of great movies, obviously a bunch of great comedies. He's had some really cool serious films like Man on the Moon. What was that one? It's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or something like that. He had this really interesting Mr. Rogers type show where it deals with like depression and stuff of a child entertainer figure like that. So he's had a pretty great career. Actually one of the best, you could say. Aside from like legends like Robert De Niro or something like that. But again, props to Jim Carrey. I wish him a great retirement after this last sort of tour he's going on for this film. He's advertising basically. And I hope to hear about a lot of his art, because he likes to get into the political art and stuff, which is interesting. So our last story, before we talk about Morbius, because I know everyone's dying to hear what Chris is going to say about Morbius. So our last story is about Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller, for those who don't know, they are an actor who plays the Flash in Justice League and Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I believe they had a small little cameo in Batman v Superman. So they've been the Flash, Barry Allen Flash, throughout the DC universe for the past like 5-6 years. They were also in a really great movie called Perks of Being a Wallflower. Check it out. But also, Ezra Miller goes by they, them pronouns. That's the word. So I know that in the back of my mind, so forgive me if I slip a he or him in there at points while I talk about this. But so Ezra Miller, I think just this past weekend, not the weekend we just got out of, but the weekend before that, during the Oscar weekend, Ezra Miller got himself into some trouble. And he's apparently gotten into trouble before, but like 2 years ago, he got in trouble for throwing a woman to the ground, or like putting his hands on a woman's throat and taking her to the ground. Apparently he was incredibly intoxicated at that time. And once again, this past weekend during the Oscars, he got in trouble in Hawaii, for being a big nuisance at a bar, because once again he was incredibly intoxicated. He was being somewhat violent with people. He was heckling people who were singing karaoke on a stage, and then he lunged at some dude who was telling him to stop while he was playing darts. And the guy was playing darts, not Ezra. But and then that's not it. That was the first story that came out from the weekend. But then the next day, another story came out about Ezra, about how he was bailed out of jail by two people who were letting him stay with them at their hotel. But apparently Ezra, after he got bailed out, threatened to kill one of the people and stole their money, or stole their stuff, their wallets with their social security cards, credit cards, stuff like that. Very, very important stuff. So, I don't know if he was arrested again. I didn't see it. I'm assuming he might have been arrested again, considering the story is out there now. But all I can say is I don't even know if I want this Flash. I don't know what DC or Warner Bros. Is going to do about this Flash movie. But I hope and I pray that they don't hire him again. Ever. I hope, or at least, I'm not gonna say he's beyond, or Ezra's beyond saving as a person, but they definitely need some help, and like for a long time. And as far as I'm concerned, the public doesn't want anything to do with Ezra Miller, I hope. Again, I don't know what they're going to do, because this is like some serious stuff that Ezra has done and needs to be taken care of. So, I don't want Ezra to be the Flash anymore. I don't want him to be in these new Harry Potter movies. He's been in the, I think, either the last two or all three of these new Harry Potter movies. They're called Fantastic Beasts. New one comes out in a few weeks too. Expect a review on that one probably as well. But it really puts Warner Brothers in a difficult position, because they're the ones in charge of putting out these movies that he is in, sometimes even the main star of, like The Flash. So I feel like they have to release these movies. But I mean, definitely don't let Ezra be a part of these press tours. Don't hire him. This is very much a case to where I'm open to just completely recasting him as Barry Allen, because I personally would not want to see another movie with Ezra in it for a long time, until, like, for some reason, somehow they can definitely show that Ezra is no longer this terrible person that he's making himself, or that they are making themselves out to be. But yeah, that's gonna be my two cents on Ezra Miller, and hopefully I won't have to bring his name up again for a while. So now that we're at the end of the stories, I'm actually gonna go ahead and throw this to a quick ad read, which hopefully doesn't take too long, and if anything you could just skip right through it, up to you, and then we will jump into our Morbius review. Take it away, handsome. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for that wonderful ad read, you beautiful person from like 3 years ago or however long that was. But today we are talking about Morbius, the newest, in a way, quote-unquote Marvel movie, superhero movie, comic book movie, however you want to identify it. It is led by Jared Leto, and it is directed by, hold on, let me get my belongings together, Morbius. Mike Flanagan? I just guess on that. Director is Daniel Espinosa. Daniel Espinosa, who has also directed, Safe House and Life. So Safe House is a Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds movie from 2012, 10 years ago. And Life was a space movie with a few big name actors who I can't tell you right now, from 2017. Actually, it might be Ryan Reynolds again. Jake Gyllenhaal? Yep, nailed it. Boom, here we go. We're rolling. But stars Jared Leto as the title character Morbius, with Matt Smith as Milo, Adria Arjona as Martine, as I think I pronounced that right, and then Jared Harris as Google has it, as Morbius's mentor. Also Tyrese Gibson is in this movie. So where to start with this movie? So if no one's been keeping up with Morbius in the past week or so, it's been getting a lot of talk, a lot of buzz around this movie. Now, hopefully you weren't someone who was excited for this movie, because this movie has not been getting the best of buzzes. Somehow, I don't know how, but a week prior to the movie even coming out and people seeing it, people were seeing it coming out saying, hey, this movie's not that great, not a big fan. And that was the majority of the reviews of their like early screenings for Morbius. But then a week ahead of time, a week before the movie even came out to the general public, like me and hopefully yourself. If not, that's cool. But on Twitter, there was an interview that someone had with the director, Daniel Espinosa, the director of Morbius, with Sony's approval. Sony approved this interview and for it to come out a week before the movie came out. The interview talks and goes nearly in-depth full spoilers on the movie, including the post-credit scenes, asking what the post-credits mean, and then really asking about how a lot of the fake advertisement stuff, which we'll get into here soon. But essentially, if you have been paying attention to movies, you know that's a red flag. Just kind of showing that they're giving up on trying to create hype and just full on telling everyone what happens in this movie. But also, through this interview and through early screenings, we found out that the main appeal of this movie, at least for me, was sort of the Spider-Man attachments it has. Because if you don't know, Morbius is a Spider-Man villain, through and through. He is the living vampire, as they market him. And he is I'm pretty sure he's created in the 70s or 80s, but to me, he's a very 90s Spider-Man villain. He's dark, brooding. He has a sort of a sad backstory, but he's kind of edgy. 90s were very edgy. So kind of like Venom, in a way. Where to start? So in this movie, for some reason, if you go and look at all the trailers for this movie, you will see that in all of them, there are numerous amounts of references to the Spider-Man universe. Like, and not just like one particular Spider-Man universe. There's references to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Hell, there's even a picture of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man muraled on a wall that Morbius walks by. And it says murderer on over the top of it, which, you know, for 2 years we've been wondering, what does that mean? And then come to find out, it's not even in the movie. A lot of the Spider-Man stuff is not in the movie. I think the most that we get is a Daily Bugle. We get the Daily Bugle. And that's it. There was an Oscorp tower in the trailers. There was a bus with Spider-Man on the side of it. A lot of this has been taken out. Now, it's not as confusing and bad as people have made it out to be. When this movie was getting early reactions, people were saying that, you know, it's not very clear what universe it takes place in. We're pretty sure that it's in its own universe that's not connected to the Venom universe at this point. But I can safely say, after seeing the movie, it is tied to the Venom universe. That being said, it doesn't help the movie's case much. But does that detract from the movie? A little bit. Not too much, but it does detract from the movie. Because as soon as I saw Spider-Man No Way Home, when I remembered Morbius was coming, I was like, oh, I have to see Morbius. Because then we'll probably find out some about whatever Spider-Man is in this Venom / Morbius universe. We do not get our answer. The director has claimed that we will find out what Spider-Man is in this universe soon, but I really, really doubt that. So Morbius, to break it down, is of course about the Spider-Man villain, Morbius the Living Vampire. But of course now, because Sony only has access to Spider-Man and his villains, they've kind of just made this Morbius an anti-hero, good guy sort of thing, like they did with Venom. But in this, it doesn't work as well as Venom. Because Venom, you can totally see being some sort of anti-hero, good guy sort of thing. Not so much for Morbius in my eyes. Here's what I'll say. I'll say the performances are probably the strongest point of this movie. The effects are not the greatest. There are some cool things about it, like the streaking of the colors and stuff when the vampire stuff is going down. In the performances, like I said, Jared Leto actually does a pretty decent job. Matt Smith, the villain, actually does a really... He seems like he's having fun, and that makes fun for us, the audience, to watch. Is there anything else positive I can say about this? Yeah, you know what? I'm drawing a blank on the positives. Now, that being said, I didn't have a terrible time with this movie. I still had a fun time watching it. Don't know if I'll watch it again. I might. We'll see. I guess the best thing I can say is it made me feel nostalgic for the superhero movies of the 2000s, like the Ghost Rider movie, Daredevil, where it's just like each movie was kind of in its own universe, its own thing. So each superhero was unique in to their own place, and people were always astounded by the powers and stuff that people, you know, had. It felt like that, where you know, it was kind of fun just seeing, you know, vampire action happen, I wish it was done a little better, in a sense. That it's hard to talk about if you haven't seen the movie, but there is vampire action in this movie. It's not super vampire-y, I guess, but it's very, very much like an origin 2005 superhero movie where they very much don't dive completely into the whole craziness of a comic book like Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor does now. They just kind of hint at it. And every so often, we will see vampire action go down. And when we do, it's okay. This definitely is a movie I probably would have watched on FX, the cable channel, where they would play superhero movies like X-Men or Spider-Man or Incredible Hulk, stuff like that, or Hellboy even. And then they would break down the special effects and behind-the-scenes stuff during the commercial breaks. And I always found that stuff to be super cool. So that's what I was into as a kid. The more you know about me, because you needed to know that. But let's get into what I'm sure a lot of people were expecting from this review. The bad. What is not good about this movie? Well, there are some decisions in this movie that I think didn't need to happen, or just... I saw someone put this perfectly. There were a lot of decisions in this movie where you kind of just go, but why? But why? You didn't have to. But why? You could have easily done something else. You know, it's not as awful, I think, as people have said it is to be. But, I mean, it's hard to make a case for it. It's very much just generic superhero. Get this super generic superhero plot structure where, you know, first half focuses on the protagonist getting their powers, then learning how to deal with the powers, and then at the end of the first half of the movie they have their first fight slash encounter with the main villain, and then the second half is just, you know, the protagonist chasing after trying to kill the bad guy or stop the bad guy. Very generic, very run-of-the-mill. Not something I guess I would remember. I definitely forgot about most of this movie within 24 hours. Tragically, unfortunately, I know. I even forgot about a lot of the characters. I completely forgot Tyrese Gibson was in this movie. I mean, it's... I don't know if this is worth waiting 2 years for, guys. I really don't, because I didn't talk about this, but this movie is supposed to come out in 2020, of course, the year the pandemic hit. So this movie has been delayed and delayed and delayed. Heck, we were supposed to get this movie just back in January, but it got delayed all the way till April 1st, because it is one big April Fool joke on us, the fans, who thought we might get something substantial. That being said, I did have a fun time because my girlfriend took me to see it, and I love my girlfriend, and it was so nice of her to do, and I appreciate it so much. And being with her made the movie that much better. So, negatives. I've got more negatives in my head, I promise. So, special effects. Some of them are kind of... The special effects in this movie are not going to age well at all. They look okay for today's standards, but I guarantee you here in a few years, the special effects will show. They will be dated here soon. Who knows? They might be dated by the end of the year. We'll see. Like I said, a lot of the decisions were kind of questionable. Like, why did this character did not have to do what they did at all? And then even on top of that, you know, I feel like you backtracked on what could have been a really interesting decision. Oh, man. And then, I mean, overall, it's just a meh movie, you know? Very much like an Elektra or Catwoman type of movie. Or what's another bad-ish superhero movie from that time period? Ghost Rider 2. Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. If anyone's seen that movie. But, yeah, I'm probably going to give this movie about a 5 out of 10. That's around what I gave it when I came out of the theater. I might be even willing to lower it to a 4. We'll see how my brain settles with it. But I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a 5 out of 10. Watch it for free if you get the chance, I guess. But I wouldn't spend any hard-earned money watching this movie. So that, but that being said, that was my roughish review, rough around the corners. I promise reviews from here on out will be a lot more polished. I'm doing this just freeballing it off the top of my head. I have nothing written down. But come back next week for when we review Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And of course, actually, if you didn't know this, in the time that Cinema Gibberish has been gone or absent from your life, I have been doing streaming on Twitch. So if you want to find me and watch me on Twitch, the username you should probably look up on Twitch is the, all in lowercase, by the way, the_Christofferson_. And you can find me there. We are streaming Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, starting tomorrow, the day after this comes out. And it's very exciting. I can't wait for everyone to tune in and watch and have fun. But that being said, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Don't die. Come back next week. And of course, this has been Cinema Gibberish. It just kind of happens. See ya.